They turn on their microphone. Okay. All items listed on the consent agenda will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a request is made prior to the time the board votes on the motion. If I can get a motion for approval of the
consent. So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We need approval for the agenda for this meeting. If I can get a motion to approve that.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we need a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
So moved. Second.
We'll double do it.
Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
First item is approval of the amendment to the commercial septic tank cleaners, pumpers, inspections contract with the DNR. Oh, no, wait a minute. Is that on the consent too?
Yes,
all right. Oh, I'm way down here at the bottom. Oh, yeah. Public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Anybody have anything? Apparently not. Margaret, anything? Okay. Additional items. Here we go. Consider approval for Story County Environmental Health Department to temporarily cover environmental health services for Boone County. Margaret James.
The sanitarian for Boone County, whose name is Mike Salati, is leaving his position to take a job with the city of Boone, and so that leaves a vacancy. And because he's a one-man department, basically, they've asked Dallas County and Story County to cover Boone County until they can fill that position. And the way they would do it is they would write a contract so that the two different counties would cover. We would cover east of the river, and Dallas would be west of the river. And we would be paid by mileage and by hourly basis. I will request that I make the same amount as the person covering from Dallas County. He makes a little bit more than I do, and it just seems fair that Story County should make the same amount of money on that. And it would be for a month or two till they can fill that position. And I feel like it's something that we should offer Boone County. We would only be doing crucial services like permitting, some water testing possibly, their dumps, things like that. We won't handle that. We don't want to get involved with that at all. It will be by a contract. The only thing that I ask that the planning person covers, if she's working on the contract with the attorney, is to make sure that there's something that addresses whether or not if an accident happens, who would cover that insurance liability on that. The other thing that I would like to see is that money stays with our department, that it doesn't go into the general fund because it's extra workload on our staff, and I think we would deserve to keep that money in our department.
Talk to Lisa about that?
I did not talk to Lisa about that, no.
I'm not sure how that works, so
That's just a conversation I'll have to have with Lisa.
What would we use the money for that we would get from that?
Well, let's see. What I want to buy next is a toolbox for our new old truck that we'll be getting. It's very important to have that because with all these probes and things, a minor accident could turn into a murder, basically, if you... so that's one large ticket item that I have that money could go toward. There's always little field gadgets that are fun to buy that makes our job easier and more enjoyable, and it'd be money well spent.
Now, do you expect this to only last for about 1 to 2 months?
Hopefully.
What if it doesn't? Mm-hmm. Will there be? Is this a month-by-month contract, I'm assuming?
That's a good question. I would insist that it be because I don't want it to drag on forever. Obviously, we'll be going into our slow stage, and it shouldn't be a problem problem like until January if it went that long.
I'd suggest real strongly that when you do sign a contract with them, that you make sure it's month by month.
Okay.
And then make sure that you and I would also suggest too that even if you do it very informally, you give them it very clear. I don't want this to go on beyond 6 months or 4 months.
Okay.
I'd suggest no more than 6 months. Because, you know, what if they can't find somebody? And they might not be incentivized to find someone if they got you doing the important stuff. So.
And they do pay poorly, so they won't have people just knocking on their doors to fill that position.
Well, if it goes longer, then we can readdress it at that time.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you and I talked about that. So when you get whatever information you get back from Boone County, just make sure you run it by Jessica Reynolds.
Okay.
And we'll probably have to contact our insurance carrier also. Just
liability.
Yep. Just make sure we're covered on both ends. So.
Okay.
So it is a consideration item. So if we can get a motion to approve that. Story County temporarily assists Boone County with their environmental health department.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Okay, Margaret, it looks like you are good to go. The next item, consider setting property owner notification standards within the vicinity of proposed animal confinement feeding operations. I had the, you didn't happen to bring the resolutions, did you?
Oh, I didn't. I was never copied on those, by the way. So I didn't know if they were intending to share that.
I don't know that we copied anybody on them. They were on our agenda.
Oh, you did.
Did?
Yep, conservation. Mm-hmm. So
Let me get my two copies. I've got one that the conservation passed, and the other one that we passed.
Okay. The thing that we're addressing today is quite simple and clear cut. So this will be an easy thing that we're going to address today. It is. It's just, you know. No. No.
As soon as they say
no,
it's simple, that's it.
No. You'll go, well, good
like,
idea.
Almost like a perception. I dare you to make this simple. We want to make that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not yet, that's right.
Paul.
I don't know. You don't know how I feel about this issue. Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay, I'll pass these and you guys can take a look at them. The Conservation Board passed a resolution at their June 11th meeting in regards to the resolution on the location of confined animal feeding operations in proximity to county parks. And I've got some scribbling on that one. So, and then was it last week we passed this one?
Yeah.
Last week, the Board of Supervisors passed a resolution regarding confined animal feeding operations. And you guys can just take a look at that one. And I'll just preface this by saying I think this is the first week in 4 weeks that we haven't had a fairly decent-sized group of people here at our board meeting talking about the proposed site. Well, I guess it's not proposed. They've started moving dirt. Location for a confined animal feeding operation north of Nevada. And we did pass the resolution. One of the biggest complaints that we've received is that nobody in the neighborhood of the confinement building received any kind of notification from the county that there was a proposed building to go in. So we've had some discussion with that, and we've asked Margaret to kind of look into that, and we said it was something that the Board of Health will have to look into if it's something that the health environmental health is gonna take part in. So that's kind of where we're at.
Start here. Okay. Whether or not we get notified depends on the animal unit capacity size of the facility. Okay. So they have them broken down into four basic sizes. So anything under 500 animal units, they do not have to notify the county. They don't have to submit a manure management plan. 500 to 1,000, they have to have a manure management plan, but they don't have to have a construction permit. And then anything above that, basically, they have to have a manure management plan, they have to have a construction permit, and they have to go through the master matrix review. You know, and then the only other caveat to that is that unformed manure storage units, they also need a construction permit because there's a lot more engineering that goes into those types of facilities. For the most part, any unit larger than 500 animal unit capacity has to submit a manure management plan to the county, and that is kind of when these deadlines start, and that's when the flag kind of goes up that, yeah, something is coming into the county if it's a new manure management plan. And from there, we go and we decide whether, you know, what classification it fits into. And so they go by the animal unit factors. So if you've got feeder cattle, for example, that counts as one unit. Whereas if you have a swine over 55 pounds, that factor is only by 0.4. And so you can get a lot more hogs on this farm compared to cattle. So stay with me here on this. So our typical confinements that we are getting in, we're seeing swine over 55 pounds, okay? And so if you multiply 2,499 hogs by the 0.4, you get about 1,000 animals. So most of the applications that are coming in are right under that threshold, okay? They still require a manure management plan. They do not require a master matrix, and they do not require a construction permit. On the flip side of that, to stay under that 500 animal limit, you have to stay around 1250 or under.
How big is the one going up now north? You said there's one going up north of Nevada now?
Yes, and that is right at that 2496 or 98 or something like that. So they don't need the master matrix, they just need a manure management plan. Now, on all of these, if there's a construction permit required, so if it's over the 1,000 hogs, anything under 1,000, we do not need to notify the public, that we are not required to. For the master matrix, we have to put something in the paper, a public notification, but that is our only requirement. We do not have to send out letters to everybody in the area. You know, that would just be a courtesy if we did that. So looking at the Upchurch facility that was a permitted facility, and this is a true case scenario, I looked at the 1.5 and 2 mile radius around the facility itself, and you can see where the 1 mile does not include the city of Colo, the other two do. This shows where the manure application area is based on the manure management plan that is submitted. So, for example, if we went and notified the 1 mile radius around the Upchurch facility, it would be about 45 property owners, 1.5 would be 380, 2 miles would be 435. But most of those, that increase is because it encroaches the city of Colo. A letter, yes. In the past, what I would do is post it on the website and then also mail the newspaper contacts that I have. And then they print it if they want to, they wouldn't. Some of them we did notify, the permitted ones, we did notify a mile radius. So my recommendation, you know, based on this table, anything over 500, so we would know about anything over 500 because we would indeed receive the manure management plan. My recommendation then is to notify property owners within 1 mile of the facility, but not from the manure management area, okay? So just the facility, not where the manure is going to be spread, 1 mile. And then if the property owners are within city limits, notify the city and not the individual property owners. The city can take it from there. If they feel like they need to notify those individuals, they can do such. I would post it on the county website. I would put it on the Board of Supervisor agenda, but not on the consent agenda, so that there's room for public discussion. I would post a sign at the site, similar to like the rezoning, those little metal signs that you see up. And then I would be interested in charging the CAFO applicant for the cost of notification.
There are two for that then?
The applicant for whoever wants, you know, the applicant for the CAFO.
But if this isn't required by us, you think you're going to get a little flack from that person? That's
well, the state does not require us to do it.
Right.
But if the Board of Health decides that it's a requirement, you can pass laws, and I think then that you could in turn charge them.
Why not a mile? It seems to me that when they put the manure on the manure sites, that's where the smell really comes from. So wouldn't you want to go a mile? If you're going to do this, go a mile from the manure site?
Huh?
Not from
well, that is a possibility. If you want to do it that way, that would include a lot more. Sometimes they do it, you know, it's not in one cluster. Sometimes they jump some land because they own land 5 miles over or whatever. It's usually not too far because you don't want to haul it that far.
Out at different times. You don't know where they're going to put it. You know, they kind of alternate probably around, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, these all have a specific place where the manure
right.
goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the manure management plan.
Correct. Uh-huh. So we do know where it would go.
Typically with one of these big buildings, it's only with a hog building, it's only spread once a year. And that's in the fall when the crops are out. And,
mm-hmm.
and they have to inject the manure so it's not spread, it's injected, I think at a depth of, 6 inches? And then it has to be incorporated within 24 hours.
There's limitations on frozen ground and this and that. I guess the reason why I'm not proposing going that route is because you might add confusion to that, because people might think that facility is going to be a lot closer than that. I mean, it is a rural area. They should be pretty much used to getting manure spread in their area once in a while. But, you know, if you'd rather do the manure management area, that I could also.
I was just curious if that would be.
I think it might add to confusion.
If it's less than 500, they don't have to do anything?
Correct.
Do we get many of those under 500 or not? There's most of them.
You don't really know, because there's no way to track them.
It's Montauk. One's up to, what was it? How many pigs did I say? 1,000?
You're going to have up to 1,000 pigs. And
1,250. 1,250 equals 500.
Those new resolutions that you passed keeps them from coming in within any parks or...
Well, no, we can't. and that kind of goes back to Margaret's proposal to charge the applicant. I don't, and we can check, but I don't really think we've got the authority to.
Okay.
There's a code section. I didn't bring that in with me, but there's a legislation that actually prohibits the county from passing any ordinance or any law that has anything to do with any type of feeding operation.
Okay.
And any law that we would pass is not valid, and any enforcement action we would take is not valid.
Okay.
Well, so basically, it's hands off.
Can we notify? I mean, it seems like we can.
I think
notify.
We can. I don't think there'd be any problem with a notification.
Okay.
At our
we
cost,
just
couldn't
charge.
Right. It would,
okay.
You know, I think it would be at our cost. That's why I think if I guess from my standpoint, if we notify the landowners within a mile of where the actual building is going to go. That, you know, here's a proposed development. And then, no.
That's what we exclude the city.
Right. And even if we went out to 2 miles with, and still exclude the cities, I mean, the biggest, I think the biggest complaint with these buildings is the smell. I mean, people are concerned that it's, you know, if they live within the proximity of the building, that it's going to ruin their property value. It's going to ruin their way of life. They won't be able to enjoy any outside activities. And I mean, if you go a mile or do you go? I mean, that's just it. I mean, the. Right.
Yeah. I have people that are thinking of buying. I had someone come in today, or yesterday it was, and we had to draw circles around all the residents because he's thinking of buying a piece of property, and he just wants to see what are his odds are for getting a CAFO in his backyard. So I think we would have to do it all, Matt. I really do.
And I think for no more, you know, how, not any more money than it would cost to notify the residents as opposed to property owners. That way, I think at least it looks like we're looking out for the, you know, property owners' interests, not just somebody that lives in the area.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So, I mean, I think, you know, maybe the only discussion needs to be is how far out,
okay,
you know, we need to go. Is a mile far enough? You know, I don't know.
It's arbitrary.
It is. It's, you know,
I'm comfortable with 2 if you want to go that, as long as I can.
I don't know how far out. The people that we've had at our meetings the last month received notice from Occupy Ames, I think, sent out notices. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's another group called Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. And I don't know if they made any notifications. And I don't know how far out they went. I think they went, must have gone further than a mile. So
they could actually put a hog confinement right over by Hickory Park.
That's what kind of started all this, because we had a manure management application for a building this size was going to hold just under 2,500 head of hogs, and he was a mile south of Hickory Grove Lake. He probably was within. Well, there wasn't any residences on that particular road for almost 2 miles, and I think that's why he thought that might be a better spot than across the section where he lived, because there was more houses. So I thought, I'll put it on the opposite side of my property, where there's a lot fewer houses, occupied houses. But then it put him within a mile of the lake.
That's not going to now.
No,
we can't stop him from that.
No.
Know. They can be within a block of a park then.
Sure. Well, no, they have to be within so many feet of
public
use areas, but it's, I don't know what the setback is. Yeah. So he could be within a half a mile. And there, yeah, there's, and that's part of the other part of the debate is, you know, local control. And there's no. So, but I think it's a good idea, and whether or not this board thinks it's a good idea and has Margaret's department do it, the county, through some, probably would be planning and development, will notify. I mean, the Board of Supervisors has made that commitment that, you know, the county will notify property owners. We thought this was the place to start because Margaret is the one that's involved in all that. And but if this board decides no, that, you know, that's not something we want Margaret's department doing, then the county through the Board of Supervisors would just direct probably the Planning and Zoning Department to do it, Planning and Development Department to do it. But I think it needs to come from the Environmental Health Department. So
the big. So are we all in agreement that notification is a good idea?
I think it's a good idea.
So 1 or 2 miles. I'd kind of be in favor of 2 miles myself, came downwind of one of those.
The conservation director did a lot of work when the one was going to go in
by the lake, and he had actually done wind studies to see, you know, what time of year, what direction the wind's out of, and for how many weeks, and yeah. Well, it just kind of depends, you know. I guess it depends on how, you know. Obviously, when it's hot and humid, you're going to get more smell generated from them than you are during, you know, the cold winter months. And during the cold winter months, it's primarily north or northwest. And obviously, summer months, it's south. So, you know, if you're living a mile straight north of a hog confinement, you're going to get some odor. You're going to have some odor issues in the summertime. There's no way around that.
Well, it doesn't cost a whole lot more to go the 2 miles.
2 miles.
As long as you keep the cities out of it in town.
Well, you're just going to notify the city.
Cities can do their own notification.
Right. I think if we notify the city, then they can do what they, you know, whatever they want to do.
Yeah. And what do you mean by cities? Like Colo?
Colo, any, you know, yeah.
Incorporated.
Any incorporated area.
Okay.
Right.
And I did just that when it came to Upchurch. I let them know, and they posted it, and I don't think they nailed anybody. But
so,
oh,
no. Yeah, it's going to go in regardless.
And then post the sign on the site, too. You're okay with that?
Right. As a matter of fact, I've been in contact with Leanne. She's got those signs,
mm-hmm.
but they're too big. They won't fit in the back of her department's vehicle anymore. So they look like a real estate sign, is what they are, but these are about, they're four times. Yeah. So she's going to work with facilities and see if they can get them cut down. She's got about a half a dozen of them that are in pretty good shape. Get them cut down, smaller, so they're more manageable, and just get a new insert put in the frame. And instead of having all the zoning regulations, I think it's just simply going to say, you know, development pending or pending, you know, development or something like that, and then put that at the site with a phone number. So, yeah.
Is that thing going to say there's a hog confinement?
No, it'll just say pending development.
They won't know what's going in there.
Right, there'll be a phone number, so we'll pique their curiosity, and then they'll have to pick up the phone.
And our department will handle that. Then.
I think so.
Okay.
Is there a reason not to put hog confinement on it?
Well, I think the thought is we could use the signs for both departments. We could use the signs for you know, your department and planning and zoning.
Oh, okay.
That way, yeah. We'll probably just put a 7200 number on it. Or Margaret's cell phone.
Home phone.
Home phone, yes.
So,
yes, yeah. Picking up.
So I suppose, so it sounds like 2 miles, so I think if we can get a motion that would contain that.
So moved.
Second.
To notify property owners within 2 miles of a pending facility, and not the
manure application area.
Right, just the physical building itself. Whatever it is, over the 500 number that you had talked about.
Okay.
But this could be a turkey or a cattle.
Anything. Right, doesn't have to be hogs.
Animal units, so that refers to all animals and then factored in for their size.
Okay.
And this is only if it's a facility. If someone has like 3,000 sheep in a field, this doesn't do it, right?
Correct. These are for CAFOs or open seed lots. So there's, yeah, confined animal.
Do we have our motion? Do we have a second? We did have, didn't we? Or did we? Okay. Any further discussion? We're clear on kind of where we're going with this?
2 miles. From the facility,
anything
over 500 that's new or increasing
right.
in size, and no incorporated areas,
right.
and one metal sign.
Yep.
Correct?
Sounds good. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Okay.
And if I could just, we've heard, this is off my screen. How's that happening? Okay, we've heard 40 at a Board of Supervisors meeting and 20 in 20 CAFOs for Story County in the newspaper. So I talked to DNR today, and they confirmed right around 23 manure management plans have come through their doors with the annual update or increases. So Story County has 20, around 23 CAFOs larger than 500. I just wanted to clarify that because we've had crazy numbers all over the place.
Okay, agency reports, Jerry Bug. Not Jerry, but apparently you can serve as shelter services. Yes, if you come up and have a seat and just pull the mic in front of you and make sure the green light's on.
Are you going to change Margaret's name?
See, I don't have that on my...
This is my...
It's not on this one. It's... Yeah.
Oh, see, yeah, this is the updated one.
Yeah, see that? Okay. Let me see that. Okay, sit down again, Margaret.
Sit down. We're here to change your name.
Okay.
I want to change it to Phil.
Okay. and I didn't bring that with me. The discussion of title change, I was looking for that, for Margaret James from Environmental Health Manager to Environmental Health Director per Springstead recommendations. Okay. A little background on that. What the Board of Supervisors did, voted to do here several months ago was commission a, help me with the wording.
Human resources.
Human resources. It was a
consulting firm.
It was a consulting firm to come in and look at our job descriptions. We haven't had a job description audit, I don't think, since 19, it's been 20 years. Compensation study, thank you. We hadn't had one done in 20 years.
Really?
So we paid a company to come in, Springstead, out of Minneapolis.
They did a good job.
They met with, I can't exactly remember who they met with, but I think people filled out questionnaires. They looked at current job descriptions, job titles, and took them several months to get that completed. We've got the report back from them, but the board has not done anything with that yet. Our human resource director will have that on the Board of Supervisors agenda on 28th of August. And at that point, the board will vote to accept the report, and then we'll have to decide how to implement any changes that need to be. And I can't remember the numbers right off the top of my head. We had... Out of 330 full-time employees, we had a huge amount of different job titles. So they've kind of pared those down. And one of the changes that they suggested making was, in order to make it uniform across the county, changing Margaret's job title from manager to director. Because that's actually what she does. She's a departmental director, no different than Leanne Harder is for planning and development, or Al Hahn is for the facilities department. It's a department that answers, well, not necessarily you, but they answer to the Board of Health. The other departments in the county answer to the Board of Supervisors, and they thought as part of the process to kind of unify all those and just simplify things that the proposed change includes Margaret's job title as director, environmental health director. So I guess we need discussion. Well, I think you do, because I mean technically the environmental health department answers to the Board of Health, and I've done a little research, probably just enough to get me in trouble, but I think the Board of Health can assign the personnel duties to the Board of Supervisors. And I don't know if there's ever been any formal action that's been taken to do that, but I think, you know, kind of by default, I think that's the way it's run. I don't think in the past that the chair for this board
wanted to necessarily be involved in, you know, the day-to-day operations of the Environmental Health Department. So that's, I think this board, before I was here, voted to adopt the county's, the personnel handbook. So is that clear? Clear as mud?
I guess. Sounds reasonable to me.
So that would simply be something that would be when the board's going to act on it on the 28th of August. And I would assume that the board will accept the report. And then as time goes on, we'll determine how to implement whatever changes need to be made. I mean, basically what it is we had some employees that were, for what their job description came out on the pay scale, were a little bit under what they should be. We had some that are a little bit over what they should be. So we kind of have to figure out the best way to go about getting people where they need to be. And so I think probably just to say that we did it, we probably need to have a motion on it, or if you guys need further discussion on it, or...
So I propose that we change her from the EHM to the EHD.
Okay. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. And that will probably not take place until the board of supervisors votes to accept the whole thing. And it doesn't change her job description, her job duties, her pay range, all that stays the same. It's simply...
No, you no, now
that doesn't change anything.
Actually, that's the whole thing. She's
actually a director.
She doesn't just manage you, she directs you.
Okay, yeah. Now, is there anything else on legal?
No, I think that's it. That's
now fine. We can have youth and shelter services.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. You didn't even have to have a motion.
Didn't even have to have a motion for that.
I'm Denise Denton, and I'm a prevention specialist with Youth and Shelter Services. You have before you two documents. One is sort of our generic end of the quarter report that speaks to the activities that we do under a number of strategies. The Institute of Medicine is very clear that they believe that to do comprehensive prevention, you need to do a number of things. And I've explained this to the board before. We try and have about 5 or 6 balls in the air at a given time where we are simultaneously providing information, you know, straightforward, anything from a billboard to a brochure to going on Mel in the Morning, where we present information to the community and try and keep them updated on what current issues are. And then we have education, which, as you can see, we do a lot of that. A lot of that happens in school districts because education is considered something that is a dialogue and ongoing where information is layered and wisdom is cumulative. And so you would have something like Project Alert, which is 11 sessions for, say, middle school students. And almost all of those kinds of programs that we present are science-based or science evidence. So they have been tested 8 ways to Sunday to make sure that they are valid and there is evidence to show that they have a long-lasting effect. We also do some alternatives, and that would be working with young people. You're going to tell them to say no to something, you need to give them something else to say yes to. And in the case of the alternative activities that we like to be involved in, we like to think in terms of skills building. So this summer, for instance, we had 3 Be the Change camps, which are like pre-employment camps for kids, and that was an activity that we do during the summer. We also work with SAD groups throughout the county, and State of Mayor's Youth Committee in Ames are other examples of alternatives. We do community-based strategies, which would be, this is not unlike something like that, where you get different people in the room to have a discussion about what are the ways that we go about doing prevention in a county. And then environmental strategies are any plans or procedures or policies that are instituted that reinforce any of the above. So what you see before you is the activities that come under a number of goals, and most of those goals have to do with either preventing onset
And our goal is always to reduce the age of, or increase actually the age of onset. So if the average is kids in Story County start using alcohol roughly at 14, we want to make that 15 or 16 at the very least. And so a lot of our programs work to that, to increase the perception of harm, which is one of the key factors in showing a deterrent. So you can see that we were very busy in the schools. Particularly April is a very busy month for us, because besides being in the schools doing our regular stuff, we also do Risky Business, which is a conference where I'm not sure how many counties were represented, but there were about 700 people there. So that was a big day. And we also did a Teen Maze the first week in April as well. And that involves seventh graders from all over this county, Boone County, and Greene County as well. That is held actually in Boone County, because they have the absolute perfect facility for us to do that at their fairgrounds. You need something roughly the size of a gymnasium to do that, and gosh, nobody's really willing to give up all their gym classes for a whole week for us. But their sort of varied industries building over at the Boone County Fairgrounds works out really well for that. So that works as well. So you can peruse that at your leisure, but I think this is pretty complete in terms of who we saw and who we talked to and what kind of activities we were involved in. The second document actually is something that just came to the attention of the Prevention Policy Board just yesterday. And the Prevention Policy Board is a separate entity. It is not YSS per se, although we hold the meetings there. But that is a consortium or a coalition of people from all over the county who represent a huge variety of sectors. And look at different issues within the county. Yesterday we had a representative from the Linn County Department of Health who spoke to us on their new ordinance addressing restriction of nicotine products. Now we have, Story County was the leader in the Smoke-Free Dining Act or ordinance, which then became law, but now we are seeing an influx of nicotine products that are not smoke involved. So the e-cigarettes, snus, many of those, and Linn County's taken the lead in creating an ordinance where those two would not be allowed to be used by anyone under the age of 18. And so they made a very compelling argument that it's a good idea to get in front of that, because in some of the cases, the nicotine in, say, an e-cigarette or some of the other products is at a much higher level than what it would be in a regular cigarette. She showed us, and I apologize, I don't remember the name of all these products, but some that was just sort of a lot of interesting, that has 4 milligrams of nicotine in it, which could kill a small child. And they look like candy, they taste like candy, and although the tobacco industry is very clear that they do not market to young people, it might be misconstrued as something that would be appealing to young people. So that is something, just so that you know, the Story County Prevention Policy Board is very interested in pursuing a similar ordinance in Story County. And Wayne Clinton was there yesterday from the Board of Supervisors and spoke to the fact that they might be also amenable. But we wanted to bring this to you. In Linn County, it was the Board of Health that took the lead on that. So we will probably be coming to you again soon looking for your support with something like that, because this is an area that we're very concerned about and feel very strongly about, and we've done such good work in terms of reducing health-related illnesses where tobacco products are concerned, and we don't want to lose ground by losing the battle with this.
Apparently it's just cigarettes that have to be behind the counter in a way, not the chewing tobacco stuff. And
I think she does too as well. Any tobacco products need to be
tobacco,
yeah,
right?
Have to
nicotine.
Be
like artificial tobacco.
Yeah, the nicotine, anything that's so what?
These do not. And so they're pretty easy. No, it does not include Nicorette gum, and it does not include the patch, because those are considered to be cessation products, and they are a time release product, so you don't get it all at once unless you're not doing what you're supposed to. These release all the nicotine right now.
I'm not sure what these products are for sure that they're talking about here. If it's not
that do include nicotine, they're e-cigarettes, so you get quite a bit of nicotine, but people don't get the smoke. Now, with some of these products, though, there is a vapor involved, so chemicals are released to the people around them, but it is not smoke.
I think most of these, what do they call them, e-cigarettes, you know, it's
a little plastic thing. Yeah,
yeah. And they do emit some sort of a vapor.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
So we'll be talking to the people in Linn County more about this, but they made a very compelling argument, and they're very pleased with the ordinance that they got.
So there's, how about these, some of these energy drinks things they have? Is there nicotine in some of those things? Those
no.
High.
Caffeine.
That's all caffeine. I knew it had caffeine. I didn't know about nicotine, too. But
some
and
of them,
they're both stimulants. They both
some, of them weren't, some of them didn't have alcohol in them, didn't they? But didn't they out? Mm-hmm. Did they outlaw those?
Yeah, those got out.
Right.
Drunk to stay awake longer with something like that is
yeah.
probably not a good combo platter. We don't recommend it. What
like
questions
your,
do you have?
Like your Red Bull and vodka, I think, isn't it?
You're always inventing something new. That's the great thing about America. But in this case, we're not pleased with the new invention. So, what questions do you have, gentlemen?
Do you want us to act on today? Or this, or
that'd be great. I didn't come with that request. Mostly just wanted to apprise you of the fact that we had this discussion yesterday, and that was the first to come to the attention of the Prevention Policy Board. We've been talking, our tobacco specialists at YSS had been talking back and forth with the people in Linn County, decided we needed to bring this to the attention of the Prevention Policy Board, and they were very interested. So the timing of that couldn't have been better, because
And Wayne did say something to me about it today. That he
what's the state say about these products on the state level?
They are not regulated.
They're not.
So the hope is, in the same way that we did the smoke-free dining ordinance, that enough counties will look at it and...
they would.
Yeah, that we'll get a critical mass and the state will look at that and say, you know what, not for Iowa.
I will follow up with Wayne and see what his intentions are. But we could probably revisit this again in October. So
one other thing, and I don't have any documentation to go with it, is another concern that we have at YSS and the Prevention Policy Board is the continued pressure to legalize marijuana as a medicinal product, and so we also spoke about that. And one of the things that you should know is there's going to be a day-long presentation on that in Mason City on August 29th, and we'll be taking several carloads, and anybody who wants to come with us. It's called The Blunt Truth, and I can certainly send you the information about that. But it's looking at the kinds of issues that have come up in states like Colorado, where they have decriminalized. Very careful. It's not legal, but it has been decriminalized for medicinal use, and how that has been hugely abused. So, you know, if you have an old football injury, gentlemen, you can go to Colorado, check in with almost any doctor there, and the next thing you know, you can be playing golf high. So,
get on there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is a constitutional concern of ours, and particularly since the Office of Drug Control Policy was pretty much decimated in the last legislative season, where they pretty much kicked out all their staff, and that office had really been taking the lead on keeping the legislature informed and making sure that that was not an issue in Iowa, and so we're looking at probably a lot more work in that area.
So what you just said with that statement was the Branstad cuts will pave the way for legalized marijuana in the state of Iowa.
Could decriminalized.
Decriminalized. Just so we had it in this public, very public meeting.
Actually, the governor was not in favor of reducing the staff for that office.
The what was?
The governor was actually not in favor of reducing that. But there were several state legislators who felt that they should slice and dice the budget in some ways, and so they wanted to get rid of the top-heavy administration. Ironically, though, what they kept was the administration in that office and not the staffers who do the bulk of that work. So they, so you can leave that to your own.
Okay, I understand.
Surprise, surprise.
Bye. So, that's all I have.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, next is Homeward.
Eileen Mullen. Yeah, probably. Oh yeah, we missed Micah. Are you in a hurry?
I'm going to be short.
Okay. All right.
I promise. Terry isn't here, and she gave me her report, and it will be very quick.
Okay.
So, the budget report is end of the fiscal year. And so, in a nutshell, we used all of our grant dollars, and there was multiple times where we had to go outside of grant dollars and use charity, if you will, or Mary Greeley. On the first page, under skilled nursing, 27% of the clients that we had received full or partial discounts. So those, they used grant dollars. At the lower part of the first page, under the health promotions program, all 70 clients that received education or nursing, and there was no funding left that we usually use for that for the last 2 months of the fiscal year. So again, those went to our kindness. And then on the second page, I'll point out with homemakers that 72% of those clients were paid according to our sliding fee scale. So again, using our funding dollars for those sliding fee scales as well. But it points out the need for all of these programs and that they're doing a good job of keeping people in their homes. And we used all of our funding monies and we'll continue to do so without a problem. I'll move on to question. I'm just going to give you a coalition update. Last meeting, I reported about some of the changes in the Story County Public Emergency Planning grants, and there isn't a lot of new things going on. Since we met last, public health in Story County, public health, environmental health, two hospitals, and emergency managers got together to discuss the what we consider were our strengths in the county and our gaps. And we will do a more formalized assessment of that between now and February. In the meantime, we gave invitations and extended a meeting out to Boone, Marshall, Webster, Hamilton, and Hardin County so that we could meet with their environmental specialists, public health, their hospitals, their emergency managers. And we also made an extension invitation out to ISU because we feel they're a strong player in emergency planning. And we will all get together in this room it's in September, I believe, August, September, and we'll explore what are our strengths, what are our gaps, what are our challenges, and after that meeting, make a proposal back to our to the Board of Health and to the hospitals, to their Board of Trustees, on who we believe should be our partners in the coalition. And we'll keep you updated at that point in time. That's pretty much it on the coalitions. And I'll keep moving forward and let you interrupt me with a question. And now last is Terry's report. She and Sherry have been very, very busy with pertussis, and probably Dr. Passion can understand that one very well. We've had, since our last meeting, 52 cases, I guess since June 4th, and in total for April is 74 cases. You know, you might say, oh, 74, well, they all have exposed, have been around other people, so what the public health nurses do is their role is to contact all those who have been exposed, so they have been very, very busy. Yeah, essentially. And then, interestingly, I guess they're required to call them back after their initial contact in a few weeks to just ask them how they're doing. That's, you know, interesting. They don't do anything one way or the other, but call and ask them. It's a requirement protocol. They've had 3 salmonella cases, 1 E. coli, and 1 Legionella case in a 56-year-old immune-compromised female with a history of liver transplant and dialysis patient, and I actually don't know any more facts on that. On the lead program, they've had 2 children with capillary levels just above 10 in April and May, and are being retested in July and August. 1 home visit was made in July 23rd. And on a 13-month-old baby, venous level was 16. So the family currently lives in a home built in 1950, and the baby will be retested at the end of July. You're probably involved with that. The public health is starting to do their fit testing, which is the mask that you use when you go need to be in homes like with people with TB. So make sure that they're protected, and they will do 43 people just in the home care area to ensure that they're able to manage those patients. TB control, Terry mentioned that there was 4 new clients for latent TB, and I know over the past year that she's reported what's been going on with TB, but I was preparing for the Board of Supervisor report, and it was just brought to my attention over this last year. They have had 8 active TB cases, where 2 of those have had to needed to be treated at the second level, where the state intervened and asked us to be involved because these cases had gone to the spine and they were worried that they were going to become more infectious. And so the state gave us, for both of those cases, gave us $2,500 to manage that. Well, with these particular cases, because they were such a high risk for becoming infectious, we had to go and actually give them their watch them take their medication every day for 10 months. So, because it was so important that they have this medication. What that translates into is that $2,500 didn't even touch the amount of resources that we put into that. It was thousands and thousands of dollars. The state is seeing a lot more of these. And of these 8 active cases that we treated, 6 of them were ISU students from another country. And I think that's just something that's important to remember. ISU at this time doesn't do, I don't know much about it, but they don't do a screening. I think Iowa City does before for
born. They require that? Iowa State required that?
I think there must be one component that they don't require that. And because I thought that,
well,
too.
They should require.
If it isn't, it should be.
Yeah, and you know, as time goes along, it might be something we want to have a discussion with that issue about, and I'll probably do that informally and get a little bit more details about that. But that's all I have to report.
Questions for Eileen?
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Now,
you're on the right one. Micah. No, it's not on mine.
On the front,
Kristen.
It's on the front.
It's on the one that's amended.
Oh, all right.
On the bottom.
Well, good afternoon. Good to see everyone again. Seems like I was just here a couple months ago, and a year has passed already. I have given every person a packet. The top one is Living with HIV Program, kind of giving an update on that. We hired a new case manager in January, hours left to go down to the AIDS project down in Des Moines. So she's the past one I see quite often. She's doing well. The new one is doing really well. She's caught on. She has some experience serving HIV folks, which is really uncommon. I bet you I got 80 applicants, and there was one person with any HIV experience. And so she really caught my eye, and she's been a good fit for the position. Right now, Story County, the second page in the packet is a copy of Iowa. It shows where people who are, where they're living when they're diagnosed with HIV or AIDS as of the end of last year. And you'll see that there's 37 in Story County. Right now we're serving 14 people in Story County. And people always ask me, well, why aren't you serving 37? Well, it's case management. People only come to us when they need help. They might need help with medications. They might need help finding an infectious disease specialist. There's different reasons they come to our program. But right now we're serving 14 men, women, and children. And our case manager, I was looking at the map, and our case manager actually covers 7 counties in central Iowa, about 50 people on the caseload altogether, but again, 14 in Story County. The next handout is the Child and Adult Care Food Program handout. It has an apple on the front. Right now, we're serving 53 providers, daycare providers, and that encompasses 480 children. And what this program does is offers healthy food reimbursement for providers who choose to shop very wisely. And so a daycare provider has to meet or be in a school district that qualifies for the reduced lunches for the school district. And if they are in that area, then the daycare provider can enroll in the program. And you'll see on the flip side of that brochure that the reimbursements are decent. It's really worth the while of these providers to join the program. Number one, they get a solid reimbursement. But number two, it's healthy foods that are served to the children. These are parents who can guarantee that their kids are getting decent meals then as they go to the daycare provider. The next handout has a handprint on there. It's the first 5 mental health development initiatives. And this was, we started a couple years ago on this. This is a great public health program. Dr. Passion, I'm sure, is familiar with this one. When a pediatric doctor comes in contact with a family, when there's red flags during a well child visit, the doctor refers the family onto the first 5 program. And what our care coordinator does is basically connect that family to any resources that are needed. So, for example, if Dr. Passion would see a family and the child maybe development isn't real well, the speech development is lagging, then our care coordinator would then connect that family to the necessary resource. And so we have a great partnership with the Farland Clinic. I was looking at the stats, and so far we've gotten 168 referrals from McFarland Clinic in Ames, which is fantastic. We've gotten 8 from McFarland in Nevada. We have 7 from Huxley Family Practice and 13 from the Story County Medical Clinic. So altogether, we're just shy of 200 referrals from providers when they see red flags for the children. And also, it can be red flags for the care provider, too. So say the mother or the grandma brings in the child. If that caregiver is struggling, for example, with a mental health issue, or the caregiver talks about not having enough food on the shelf, then quickly our care coordinator can connect with that family to make sure that resources are available to the family. The next sheet.
It is a very nice program. It's been very, very helpful. And it's called First 5 because it's only for children under 5. So once you get into the school districts, school time, AEA helps, area education, but this is to kind of help with that very important gap, and it's been a very nice service. So.
Great to hear. The next sheet is the WIC enrollment. WIC stands for Women, Infant, Children. It's a nutrition program. Families come into our office, and they are seen by a nurse and a dietitian, and we have an oral hygienist who views the child's mouth. And basically, they leave the clinic with food vouchers to take to the grocery store for healthy foods. And I think the biggest change this year has been the fact that no longer can the food coupons be redeemed for name brand cereals. They are only generic, and we're surprised that families are having a hard time transitioning to generic cereals. I guess WIC has spoiled them for many years, having the Kellogg's brand, for example. But our stats are still real high. You'll see on the bottom, Ames, in July, we serve 1,500 families. That includes pregnant women. That includes children below the age of 5. So it is definitely the biggest program that MICA has. The next couple sheets is the maternal health and child health programs. And then the sheet right underneath actually gives some stats. It's at the top of it, Micah's Maternal and Child Health Services. I'm not going to, you know, read through all these, but you'll see by the child health staff that we serve a lot of children. We're linking families to medical and dental services all the time. For example, our dental hygienist, who is a part of our office, did a dental screening for 1,500 kids last year. And of the 1,500, a bunch of them are referred to the Story County Dental Clinic, which I'll talk about here shortly. But we have, the population we serve are mostly Medicaid eligible and uninsured. Those uninsured kids are either documented or undocumented folks. And so when those kids come in, they have a lot of health issues many times. So we're really, really busy in our child health program connecting those families to the resources they need. And a maternal health program, on the back of that, is we've had 100 people enroll in our last fiscal year in that program. Maternal health is a great program. It just adds an additional layer of support to women's OB visits. We have a social worker, we have the dental hygienist, we have a nurse, and they work as a team to provide lots and lots of education to the pregnant women. And many, many of those women are uninsured or undocumented. And as I mentioned a year or so ago to you guys, we now have the prenatal care on wheels that come into town every other week. And it has just been a wonderful service to the community to ensure that these women have healthier birth outcomes. Absolutely. And I don't know, Dr. Passion, do you know how many women who have participated in this prenatal care van have walked into the ER at Niagara? Do you have any idea?
I don't know if we keep that data.
Yeah.
That's just a real concern that we have in Story County is the people who are providing the services are from Des Moines. The Des Moines osteopathic.
They are Broadlawn.
Yeah. Or excuse me, Broadlawn. And so their whole concept is that they should then come there to deliver, which is actually what Iowa City used to do. A long time ago, Iowa City used to, if a woman couldn't afford her pregnancy, she basically moved to Iowa City for the last 3 months and stuff. And so the residents and the medical students and everyone got practice. And they were able to deliver a healthy baby, and then they went back to their county. But it was very stressful. But we're always concerned that they would get their prenatal care here and then show up in our emergency room. And we would, of course, have to take care of them if they're in labor and stuff. I mean, we would, but we'd have to. I don't know how many.
Well, I mean, this has been months ago. I talked to Dr. Lee, Tim Lee, and at that time he told me one instance, and that was right off the bat, early on when the van came into town. But certainly there could be more. But
yeah, and I don't know how we would tell, how we would be able to tell
that
people come in without prenatal care.
Yeah, and so many times, what's nice is that when the women go use this van, they have medical records now. And those medical records are, you know, when the time to deliver, they're at the hands of the fingertips of the people down in Broadlands because they're all electronic. Now, I don't know a woman walking into Mary Greeley who had received care in this van what accessibility they would have to the medical records. I would have no idea, but hopefully it's very few. But anyway, that's a great program. There's just much healthier babies and moms now because of this effort with Broadlands. The final handouts are the Story County Dental Clinic. And on the stats, you'll see one stats, that's our current fiscal year. The flip side is last fiscal year. And let me tell you, that place is hopping. There is never a dull moment. I never thought I would learn so much about dentistry as I have in the position of overseeing a dental clinic. It's an eye-opener. But what we see is horrendous tooth decay. Horrendous. It's really sad. There isn't a week that goes by that there isn't a patient that walks in the door who stinks so bad because of the disease in their mouth. It's just incredible what we see. But we're really proud, very proud to be here in the community.
Younger people or younger?
All ages. I mean, it's not uncommon to have a 14-year-old come in with 10 cavities. It's not uncommon.
Stop.
And then you have the other extreme when we have an 80-year-old person who absolutely, positively should have had their teeth pulled 15 years ago because her mouth is rotted. It's really incredible. We do tons of dentures and partials of all ages of people. You can see 20-year-olds sitting in there in a chair having all their teeth pulled. It's not a meth mouth. It's the fact that they've never been educated on the importance of oral health care. It is an eye-opener. Now, what I'm sad to report is that our dentist quit at the end of June. He was wonderful. He was an angel. He was wonderful. He had a better opportunity in Des Moines. And so now what we're doing is contracting with whatever dentist I can get a hold of. And knock on wood, I've been able to find contract dentists for July, August, and September. But that's a day-by-day basis. In July, we only had one day that I had to close the door because I didn't have a dentist. But what we're finding out is it costs a lot more money to contract with a dentist than it does to have someone salaried. It's a lot more. Some of these dentists want mileage. Some of the dentists also want hotel reimbursement. It's incredible. So I'm very actively trying to recruit a dentist. But the bottom line is the Story County Dental Clinic cannot pay a salary compared to a private practice. We do not have the budget. We only survive on Medicaid reimbursement. We only survive with uninsured patient fees and from the goodness, the heart, from the deep pockets of very kind people in the community and civic organizations and churches and so on. That's how we survive. Every time we serve a patient, we only get reimbursed 76% of our actual costs. So there is a deficit every time someone sits in the chair. And that's why I have to continually, I write grants like you can't believe. I write grants for dental supplies. That frees up the budget so I can pay the staff. Our no-show rate is incredible, too. We double, triple book, and we still have an incredible no-show rate. So we're doing what we can to keep our doors open, but it's extremely, extremely difficult to do so. Extremely difficult. But again, you'll see by the stats, we serve a lot of people. And you'll see by the stats also, people are hearing about us in other counties. They're coming from a distance now because we are one of the few people in Central Iowa who will accept Medicaid or have reasonable rates. We're 50 to 70% cheaper than a private dental office, and we do the same thing. We very rarely have to refer out to Iowa City anymore, because the level of expertise that our dentists have is fantastic. We just don't have to refer out because the people we serve don't have vehicles. They don't have reliable transportation to get to Iowa City in the first place, nor do they have the money to get there, put the gas in the car.
Is it time to go back to, I know that the dentists in the community helped when it was a free dental clinic and they came in to volunteer and they initially came in. Might it be time at least to see if partially you could touch on them to see if they would like to volunteer at it for an afternoon or a morning, a day, a week? I mean, in the past, they have been very helpful and they really pull together because remember the history of this.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Dr. Patterson.
And that might be an interesting thing. And the other thing I want to say is this is such a, you think just dentistry, it's not that big of a deal, but, it is really an important part of a human being's health is good dental care. And it's not just that their teeth look good. This is their health. This is almost as important, not quite as important because I'm a pediatrician, as immunizations. But it ranks up there. And then, it's important, and it's an important thing. I'm wondering if it's time to kind of meet with the dentist. Have you, they have a monthly meeting, I think, the dentist and the group, or they used to. The Story County, it's a dental society or something, because I didn't have their meeting. They have like this monthly or every 2 or 3 month meeting where they get together, they have something.
Oh, how recently are you aware of this? Me too. Years ago, I presented years ago, but your suggestion of contacting the local dentist, I did. I sent a letter to Story County Dentist, to Boone County, and to Northern Polk County, and to Marshall County. I got addresses to everybody. I sent a letter asking, first of all, are you interested in volunteering? If you're not, I can pay for you to come because I have to keep my doors open. I didn't get any response.
The only callback I got was from a dental assistant that happened to see my letter sitting at her dental practice and say, I can come down and help you out, Janelle. Not one single dentist offered their time. No, I'm going to take it back. One dentist did. Dr. Katie Porter, she has come in. She volunteered a day.
Dr. Good kind of started.
He did. He was wonderful. Yeah. He's retired now. He's enjoying life right now. But he's a part of our policy council. Dr. Reedhead comes in, but, you know, he's absolutely, he's a paid person because he will come in. But when I sent that letter, I got no response. I was shocked. I thought maybe someone would call me just to say, maybe I can work a half day. If I can just piece some half days together even, that would just, if everybody just volunteered a half day in our area, my problem would be solved until I found somebody.
Everyone did one.
If everybody sent a letter to half day, period. Half a day. I work, my office is open Monday through Thursday, 10-hour days. I get, I figured it out. I don't have my staff with me, but if everybody would volunteer a half a day, that would cover me for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks into the future.
You know,
can the Board of Health write a letter?
Sure, I mean, we can, but you know what? I'll put out my feelers, and why don't you try to look at this too? See if they still have their monthly, their bi-monthly meeting, and they're usually kind of jovial. They're eating, they're having some drinks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more than happy to, if you present, could be there also. I mean, I would be Wonderful. More than happy to, because if this is just a temporary thing, maybe you could kind of try to, and if you kind of laid out the money thing about what you're asking and kind of see. I mean, I'd volunteer, but I can't do dentistry. So,
I appreciate that offer.
You know, and it might be a better environment because it's always better to say it in person. And if they're there and if you can get them on, I don't know if they still have it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask Brandon Chapman.
Brandon is a wonderful advocate for our office. I know him very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I'll do is maybe I can talk to Okay.
So any other questions about any other program? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we're back to Margaret.
The HMD. Right?
Director.
Correct, right?
Like a duck, and she talks like a duck.
She's the EHD.
She's a duck.
Excuse me, EHD.
That's Aflac.
Environmental Health Director.
Okay, well, now that I've cleared everybody out, here I am.
You're part of us. And also, you're still on public records, right? It's still a public meeting.
I'm site systems. Okay, here's some numbers. I didn't fill in the 11th. I didn't get around to it today. Septic permits up to the state, 39 for the year, 7 repairs at tanks and boxes, and then 28 tracking instruments. We went run across systems that didn't have a permit issued, but they're functioning like septic systems, so we give them a tracking number. There's two systems that are sort of out of the usual that I'm working on. The fourplex mound, I did issue a notice of violation to these folks because of the last Board of Health meeting, and they responded. Fox finalized the plan, Fox Engineering, and it's kind of hard to see, but the plan is to put in a 3-cell mound about 300 feet long by 6 feet. It's super duper big. What it's going to be is 2 working cells, 1 resting cell, and then alternating. Another unusual one is the practice golf facility on South 69 there. Mr. Speck and I met down there. He's going to give a bid on that. They removed all their topsoil, so they will have to be putting in a sand filter. We're having difficulty coming up with water usage. There's 22 people per day, they figure. That includes women's and men's teams and the coaches. It's just a really hard number to come up with on water usage. It's a cool site, though.
really amazing what they can do to a field. We had a meeting with Ted Peterson. He's out of the DNR Field Office 5. They had never done this before in the past, but they went around all the different counties in their field office, and they wanted to know who on our in the county should still be on the state's list for possibly putting in community systems. Fernald is really the only one that I know of at this point. We did go ahead and get Sheldahl on the system based on this program, and how it's been fantastic having them on a community system versus a private. So Fernald is a possibility. It goes on the state list. I wouldn't imagine it's a high priority, though, but it is. It will be on the list. And then we also asked them to please copy furnish us with systems that DNR permits. For example, Flex Steel and other oddball ones like that, if they get involved. And then lots of times they keep their records, and then 10 years down the road, nobody knows anything about them. So they're going to really try harder to get that information to us. On wells, permits, 13 for the year, plugging, 9, and then water tests, 95. Different things about wells. Wells on Riverside Road near the Skunk River, you guys have been asking about the drought and how that's affecting wells. There's a cluster of wells that may indeed be impacted because of the river levels getting low. We have had such incredibly high bacteria numbers in these wells, 300 or so. You're supposed to be zero, so they're around 300, and then they'll shock them and they'll go up even higher. Two wells that have shown that, and so Kathy's been busy testing wells in that vicinity to just make sure that we don't have a problem. One person decided to switch over to roll water because of the bacteria issue. Okay. Yeah.
And on Monday.
Okay. Oh, you did that? Okay.
Yeah, we got that one.
Okay, excellent.
One Monday.
That's good news. ISU, well, they're doing a water well for their cooling towers. They hit some dry holes there, so they're back to the drawing board. Fox Engineering was working with that. The 28E agreement, I reviewed that, and I did not send it to our lawyer yet. I thought I would send it back to DNR to see if they agree with my changes, and then we'll start the legal decision on those. Grants to counties for fiscal year 13 will be $23,500, and that can go toward the rehab, the testing, and the plugging. Miscellaneous activity. The lead inspections, I did nothing the last couple months. Still have eight open cases. We have no new, well, okay. For environmental follow-up, no new lead poisoning cases. Eileen mentioned that there are two hives. And the trigger, I need, both children need to have two venous levels in a row that are high before it triggers an environmental investigation.
How high?
They, 19. Yeah. Is the trigger. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And then just recently I've had two calls for time of transfer inspections, lead hazard inspections. The state told me I cannot do those. So I've been recommending there's two lead test kits that EPA stands behind now. As an inspector, I cannot use those, but as the homeowner, they can, just to give them an indication of what their problems might be. Two complaints, basically, bed bugs in a local hotel. Inspections and appeals were unable to confirm. And then there was also a former dry cleaner in Huxley that had a lot of suspicious barrels and things, and the DNR and the city is working on that. Trainings and meetings. Oh, let's see. I went to a high-strength wastewater workshop, mostly trying to get a better idea of what's going on with the grease traps and where all that good high-strength wastewater is ending up. Let's see, ELC training for all three of us, and then the homeward meeting that Eileen mentioned I attended. Matt attended the San Diego ESRI conference. He is key to the whole county, not just the department, on a lot of the computer issues with the GIS and that. Very valuable. Very valuable person and very valuable meeting that he attended. Let's see. Oh, environmental health emergency preparedness. this past 2012, that was our last grant that Environmental Health directly will receive money, and now they're going to fold us into public health for that funding. So, and that's a good idea because we all need to work a little bit more in sync rather than independently. So I wrote up that grant. We'll be getting that money. It's probably going to be a couple months. Public record request. This came up at our last Board of Health discussion. I talked to Alyssa, the human resource person, and she said it's pretty much up to me. If it feels like a public request, not just a daily routine information request, then go ahead and shoot it up to her. And any questions, she'll handle them, you know. So, for example, we recently received a request for folks that live in the rural areas that might have septic systems, and so this guy wants to promote his business through them. And so that would be an information request that we would run through Alyssa. Another one would be, obviously, confinement questions that they want a lot of information. That, too, would run through her. So, you know, media ones or kind of sensitive issue ones, I'll send through her. Water quality, anti-degradation. EPA requires DNR to develop anti-degradation policy for all the surface water. Excuse me. And in turn, those requirements affect the NPDES permits, so the dischargers that are discharging to the streams are affected by this. So the two that we recently received, I didn't bring them up, was from Lincoln Way Energy and DuPont, and they're going to both combine their discharge and shoot it over to Indian Creek, sort of in the Nevada vicinity there. It's a lot of water, between 0.4 and 0.6 million gallons a day, and the temperatures will be higher, 79 in the summer, 74 in the winter. And then chemicals would include low levels of residual chemicals used to prevent scaling in the cooling towers. They've got some RO water runoff, things like that. The stream is classified as A1 primary contact. This shows where they will be discharging to. It's kind of hard to see, but the blue is the existing water flow path, and then it'll change over so that it goes in the storm sewers, and it lands up. See that white box on the bottom right? It points to where it would go to the Indian Creek. So it's right in Nevada. It's within the city limits there. So talking about a lot of water, a little bit warmer.
Well, they're going to change that. The blue is going to go away, and then it's going to go on the red line?
Apparently, that's what the
is
map...
Is the blue open? Is it like a ditch?
Existing water flow path. Well, let's see.
I always wondered what they did with their water.
It shows that it goes under the track, so I don't know what that's
going to be on that blue.
I wonder if that's a goof.
Or is the blue going to be the new?
The blue is the existing... The discharge to was existing water flow path is what it says.
Where does it go now? What's that go to now? Is there some ponds there?
No, I think it goes to the creek. It goes past the ponds.
Oh, okay. I wonder, that's those ponds at the water plant.
Yeah.
So that water goes to those ponds or right by it, evidently.
Right.
They're probably joined. There's probably a pipe that they both discharge to the creek.
They don't currently have storm sewers out there now. The red.
Right, and I think they're building that, but they're right.
Haven't started, but
I don't know. This is what the engineer sent me.
I know they're redesigning all that out there.
I guess I was thinking that they would hook to the county tile. And then we end up going quite a bit south of Nevada, but that's not the case. They are using, they're staying right in the city with this water.
Yeah, there's a district tile that goes, well, it's a little bit west of where the current plant is now.
Right, and then swoops down south.
They wouldn't put in all that red line. That red line's got to be existing, some of that. Because they wouldn't be putting all that in over in that subdivision, that housing subdivision area.
Well, that's
got
to
be there.
That could be existing up to where it starts to go west along Lincoln Way, because I don't
think that green that's going in, that little green dotted line has to connect it on the highway.
Had I not blown up these slides bigger than the slide itself, I could tell you. I'll tell you in a minute.
I got news that they, because we were bidding on some of that work over there, and the plans were supposed to be out last week, and I got a notice from them saying, a call from the DuPont people saying that it's going to be another 6 weeks now because they're redesigning all the piping for the site utility.
Oh.
So this may be part of some of this redesigning of this stormwater that they're doing is part of that.
Interesting. I just ran these past Dr. Kloss just because he's the guru on water quality in the streams. And he was concerned about the dissolved oxygen for the fish and invertebrates in the warm water. A little political comment there. But so his suggestion, excuse me, was to possibly get an Iowater volunteer that lives in Nevada to go ahead and check and monitoring that. And then coming up, we have a meeting with Forest Dewatering. This is really cool. He's going to meet with us next week. He is thinking about coming into our county and being a pumping provider, but instead of land applying, they dewater. So this is something new to Story County, so we're going to meet with them, talk to them about the
pump. What do you think that means?
It means the plant is up and running. It's down in Des Moines. So they take charge $0.075 per gallon, so about $75 a load. They bring it to the plant, they dewater it, and then they can land apply this cake-type material, and then the liquid actually gets discharged to the Des Moines plant. So this is being treated better, and it's just the solids then that are being land applied, which is better than just simply land applying, in my opinion. Sorry?
Better than the liquid and the solid.
Yes, yes. So we're meeting with them about what our county, our permitting and our requirements and things like that. And we'll go from there. But they're considering Story County because his son is just graduated from ISU, wants to live in Ames. And so they're going to get trucks and have the pumpers bring it to the semis, and then the semis will bring it down to Des Moines. I don't know what that'll do to the cost per gallon, but and then we're going to keep a real close eye on the installation on that 4+ mound so that this is an excellent mound and we don't have problems again with this.
It's going to help. They're going to move their whole facility out there in 2 years.
I know that they've got more building phases scheduled. I didn't realize that they were going to shut down the Ames one. And I promised him, because this mound seems overkill, kind of.
Are they going to use this mound for the new?
For the new. Right now, it's designed for what it is right now. But we told him that we would revisit it and get better water use numbers and include some of the excess to what needs to be added.
I just wonder if they could add on to that then for the new. The new sanctuary building is going to be going up.
We might be able to. We have that in mind. Yes. Yes.
That's going to happen in 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
They've got 2 years to get built. Then their property on 24th Street, they're getting out of.
Okay.
So within
2 years, it's a done deal.
Yeah, they're out, yeah.
Okay.
They'll be starting building out there probably in the next 6 to 8 months.
Wow. Oh. Does this do any better? What did I do? If I had my phone, I'd go like that and make that smaller. I went to
your iPad. Yeah. Where's your iPad?
So sorry, I can't tell you what this is.
Here.
Scroll. Well, slowly. to see what that other line was. Okay. Wait for it.
What color was that line? Was it green? There was a green dotted line.
The yellow one is the proposed one.
Proposed water flow path existing and storm sewer. So proposed. Where do you see that?
Down.
Oh, yeah. I must have hit that. Okay. Here we go.
Yellow.
Huh? The proposed was what color?
Yellow. Well, it's yellow on there, but it's green.
It's green and blue.
Yellow is right below that.
That looks green to me. Anybody else see green?
Oh, it's yellow. Well, turn off that light once. We'll see who's just got their eyes.
Green.
Hello?
Okay, right. A dotted line that short.
Yellow green line.
It's green to me.
Okay, whatever.
So it could be that I have
a motion. No.
Right along the highway. Right along 30.
It could be that the city's putting in the orange and the facility's putting in the yellow, something like that. I don't know. But anyway, you know, what's interesting too is this water comes from the Skunk River watershed and it's going into the Indian Creek watershed. So not only are you adding warm water, you're moving it. A lot of water.
I think that red line is storm. That's existing.
Well, you know, anyway, that's where it's going to... All I really care about at this point is where it's going and if it's going to degrade. From Lincoln Energy, yeah.
They don't even tell you what the blue dotted line is on that.
Existing water flow path. I don't. Maybe it just runs down the railroad line there. You think?
Unless there's a ditch there. There may be a ditch on the side of the railroad that goes on.
But I'm thinking. I don't know. But it's changing.
Okay.
And that's all I have for today.
Any questions for Margaret? Okay, there's no public hearing items. Any comments from the staff? Apparently not. Board comment. Next meeting in October will be at the County's Human Services Center.
Okay.
In Ames, 126 Kellogg, South Kellogg. The conference room is on the second floor. It's what hangs out the west end of the building on the second floor.
You used to meet there.
And that's what I was going to ask. Do you want to start switching back and forth? I mean, you guys are all driving from Ames. I'm walking from down the hall.
I would like to go to Ames if I have... Well, I'm not on board. Sorry.
That's the only problem is it recording. When we do it over there, it'll have to be recorded on a cassette.
Let's see what that
is. This is fine. Here.
Okay.
So when's the meeting?
It's October 2nd. Yeah, the auditor's office is using this room for training that day. They're actually switching over to a new voting system. Not to actually vote on, but to get people checked in. It's a new system. They use laptop computers, and
we are going to meet here.
We'll meet down the hall?
In October, we're going to meet in Ames.
Oh, we'll still meet names, okay.
Yes, because there's no other conference rooms in the building that day that are available. Well, that's not really set up. Yeah, and that would be the same. Yeah, so. Right. No, I think it's easier. I think it's not big enough.
So the second floor conference room.
Second floor conference room, October 2nd, at the Human Services Building. Anything else from anybody? I'll take a motion for adjournment then.
Second.
Motion to second for adjournment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned.